Welcome to Out With Dan, the podcast that spotlights and examines the voices of LGBTQ+ authors, characters, and our allies. Together, we lift our voices and we tell our stories. I'm Dan White. Join me as I chat with this week's author. Hello, and welcome back to Out With Dan. Today, I'm excited to talk to Celia Lasky about Under the Rainbow. Welcome, Celia.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Can you give the audience a little brief synopsis of what this book is about?
So Under the Rainbow is about a fictional town in Kansas that I created called Big Burr. And it's named the most homophobic town in the nation. And so a queer task force is sent in to try to help them be better. And basically every chapter is a different point of view from some characters from the task force and some characters from the town.
That was it. So in a lot of ways, it's like reading a whole bunch of little short stories, even though they're all intertwined. And it's really quite lovely. And I this is a compliment, or at least meant as one. You have all the feels and all the emotions. It's so on the page, because whether it's from the task force or the townspeople, you give us exactly what they're feeling. And as a reader, I was totally invested. Take a lot of mapping, or how did that work out?
Oh my goodness. Listen, now that I have written a bunch of novels and most of them have one main character and they generally go linearly in time, I would never write a novel in stories again. It's so hard. It's so hard. And the funny thing is that when you're a young writer, all you're trained to write is short stories. So no one ever teaches you how to write a novel. You know, I took probably dozens of writing classes before I went and got my MFA. Then I got my MFA, not a word on how to write a novel. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to write a book made up of linked stories, because that's literally all I know how to write. But now that I've done the typical novel, I can tell you it's actually easier, which I never would have thought.
I'm sorry that it's easier now, but I'm so glad you took the time to take the hard way in on the first one, because I really did. So I'm curious, are you from a small town or a large town?
I am. Yeah. A small town, and definitely the rural part of that small town, because there's parts. I'm from Brunswick, Maine, which is not the most rural place. Bowdoin College is there, which some people know, but we definitely live sort of out in the boony part of Brunswick. And my grandmother lived across the street growing up, and that's the house that my dad grew up in. And there are just generations and generations of my family who have lived in that part of Maine. So yeah, I was definitely pulling a lot from those rural roots.
Well, I noticed a lot of what I would say I saw growing up in the South in this as well. And of course, you would see the same thing in Kansas as well, because when you're talking about a small town, people are interlinked. And I think that's the thing about this book that is so much fun, is the townspeople are interlinked, but so are the people from the task force. And it's unique how the longer the task force stays, the more knitted up they become, because that's human nature, right?
Right.
So there's a couple of characters I want to talk about. I do want to ask you, did you have a favorite to write?
Well, you know, probably my favorite ended up being Gabe, because we go back to him for an extra story. And so I got to see his arc complete a little bit more than everyone else. And I just felt a lot of empathy for him, you know? He probably ended up being my favorite.
Well, I can understand, you know, I honestly just fell in love with him. You know, there are things that he does that I felt that you hit the nail on the head with. And I'll give a few examples, not giving anything away, but he's in a marriage, and he realizes he has feelings for men, and he knows he's had that his whole life. But as So sadly, a lot of people do. They think if I get married, I'll be able to suppress this. And of course, as right. time goes on, he's just unhappy. But he does some things that I really love. I mean, he goes and sits in a deer stand for long periods of time. And I'm a big believer in nature heals us. Sometimes we really have to get out of our mind. We have to see that nature works with or without our interference. And I love that, Gabe. And of course, I will give a little spoiler away. Gabe has a happy ending, which is really, really quite lovely. I love that happy ending.
Yeah, yeah. I was sort of going back and forth the whole time editing the book about, you know, how we were going to end it. Do we want to end on something uplifting or maybe not? And I think this sort of struck the right balance.
I agree. I agree. Because we have a Christine. So tell the audience who Christine is. Because, you know, Christine is that person everybody wants to shoot an arrow at, I think.
Yeah. And that was an interesting challenge, writing a character like Christine and finding empathy for her, too. Because you have to, you know, when you embody these characters. But yeah, Christine is a local of Big Burr. And she is not happy at all that the task force has arrived. That's just a mild way of putting it. And the way that I was able to find my way into this character is I was doing research about like the actual psychological roots of homophobia. And I came across one study that said that in some cases it might actually be jealousy and not necessarily about the sexual orientation part, but the freedom part, that when you're queer there, you just have a lot of freedom from the social structures that a lot of straight people don't have. You know, we're not as expected to get married, buy a house, have kids, sort of follow those predictable steps. And I think with Christine, there was certainly a pretty good amount of jealousy that, you know, these people were able to have a more free life than her.
And with Christine also, Christine becomes sort of the angry voice, the toxic voice of the small community. And she gets to say and do things that some others really wish they could. But Christine gets to be the mouthpiece because she's got a lot of big stones.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She says some things. So on a different place that I'm going to do a little quote. So there's a group meeting and Pammy says that her daughter Katie keeps asking, why are those two ladies holding hands? And I really screamed at you in the book because it is true. Parents sometimes say their kids say things that really it's the parent who's saying it, that Katie never said that. Katie never looked at that billboard and said there are two lesbians holding hands and that's a problem. Only right. adults say that thing. Children just see two happy people. And I love that you brought that in because I was like, you know, it made me angry because I knew she was lying. But that was a great thing that you did because, you know, it's a true emotion there.
Yeah, parents do that a lot. My kid is uncomfortable with XYZ and it's like, no, they're not.
No, they're not. Children are the easiest placated individuals on earth. As long as you're good to children, children are good to you. That's just the way it works.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think my favorite character was Elsie. And I think the reason she was
interesting.
Yeah, because, and so I think I might have alluded to this to you earlier. So I'm such a big feminist and supporter of women's health issues and women having the ability to make their decision. And I felt Elsie was not able to make that decision. And I had such empathy for her because she describes what her life was like. And then she describes how her children have sort of abandoned her. And she doesn't always get the connection that she had anything to do with that. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I ended up coming to love Elsie because at the end of her story, she tries to make some things right, probably not the right way around, but at least I felt like Elsie had a nice arc in that.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
She also says something else that I made a note of because I love the fact that she says Harley's non-binary world or gender fluidity maybe was like a fulcrum on a seesaw. And I was like, of course, I had to go to the dictionary to look up what a fulcrum really was. I assumed it was the bar in the middle.
Yeah.
But, That I was just like, I love that. I love the fact
I don't even remember that I wrote that. So thank you for recalling it for me.
Oh, it was just lovely. I just thought it was something different. And to give the reader some other things. So we have David and Arturo and Miguel. So will you tell us what they have, what their sort of backstory is or their story is?
Yeah, so David and Miguel have been a couple for a long time. They've lived in New York City. They come to Big Bear so David can be part of the task force. And I'm like, it's been so many years. I'm like, am I getting this right? And then Arturo, who is Miguel's dad, recently had a health scare. So he comes and moves in with them in Big Bear. And it's sort of cramping their style because they have an open relationship. And, David is really not happy about Arturo being there on many different levels.
And I loved that. I loved what you did with the David and Arturo because David, and I think it's understandable. Not everyone wants to be a caregiver. That's not my bag in this life. I can tell you all of my friends know and love me, but they know I will never be the caregiver. I didn't get that gene at all. So, I mean, I saw that in David and I'm like, not everyone gets that. Yet he and Arturo, Miguel's father, they forged such a unique friendship in the fact that they sort of step around the issues they have with each other and yet become very loving with each other. And I loved that.
Yeah, I was sort of, taking inspiration from my own life a little bit there, like, well, what would it be like if my in-law, came to live with me and how would we navigate that?
I think it's something that a lot of people have to go through. And it is something, it's certainly a life changer for sure. So tell us, and you named one of your main characters, Karen, and she's just sort of the opposite. Was that a choice?
Or that
did the Karen thing come along afterwards?
The Karen thing came along afterwards. And it's funny because there was some adaptation stuff happening with Under the Rainbow for a little while. And they were like, we have to change Karen's name. And I was like, I completely understand. Yeah. This was before that whole phenomenon.
Tell us a little bit about Karen and Avery and their relationship.
Yeah, so Karen is the head of the task force, and Avery is her daughter, and they came from LA. And it's funny that Karen is the head of the task force, and I never gave her her own chapter. But yeah, I didn't give her her own chapter. We sort of see her through Avery. Mm-hmm. And Avery is sort of trying to fit in at Big Bear High School, but having come from Los Angeles, it really sort of marks her as an outsider. And she also sort of feels like an outsider in her own family because she gets this sense that Karen really wants her to be gay. But at this point in time, she thinks she's straight. She's attracted to guys. So that's sort of a big component of that chapter as well.
And Avery is such a unique character in the fact that she's one of the younger characters, and we see through her eyes how it is that she is having to adapt to a life she doesn't really want at all. And it's difficult because I think that comes with all the emotions we have when we're in middle and high school. How do we fit in? We're the new kid in town and that kind of stuff. And you give Avery such a voice in that, and it's really quite lovely.
Thank you. Yeah, I was hoping that I would be able to nail a teenage voice because they speak so differently from us now. And I just really wasn't sure if I was going to be able to have a believable tone of a teenager. So thank you.
It was believable. It was enjoyable as well. And of course, yeah, as a teenager, she can't always see down the road because she's not mature enough to see so far down the road. She sees right here, which is what most teenagers do. There's a beauty to that, and there's a shortcoming to that that we know as adults. So I thought you nailed it really well. So since Under the Rainbow, you've written other books. Is that correct?
Yes. I have one that's out now. It's called So Happy For You. And that one is about a maid of honor named Robin, and she's a lesbian, and her best friend from childhood, Ellie, is getting married, and she becomes a bridezilla, sort of to the point that Robin is fighting for her life by the time the wedding weekend rolls around. So it's a little bit of like a thriller especially toward the end. Yeah, it was quite a lot of fun to write because I just am not really a fan of the wedding industrial complex. So it was fun to just kind of take a giant dump on that for 250 pages.
I love it. And I love thrillers. So I'll definitely check that out. I think that's wonderful.
Thank you.
Do you have a website or social media you would like to share?
Sure. My website is celialasky.com. Pretty simple to remember. And you know, I'm not really active on any social media right now. I probably will be before my next book comes out, but it probably doesn't even make sense to share the social media right now.
All right. Well, if anyone's looking for you, they can find you through your website, obviously.
Yep. Yep.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me, Celia. This has been a great deal of fun for me. Thank you.
And thank you. Me too. It was nice to revisit the book. It's been quite a long time.
Thank you for joining me for this week's episode of Out with Dan. You can find more information about this podcast and its host at outwithdan.com, on Twitter at @outwithdan, and on Instagram and Facebook at @GoOutWithDan. This podcast is hosted by Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, and the theme music is provided by bensound.com. Join us again soon for the next episode of Out with Dan.